We have the first of my IHR colleagues, Adrian Bingham, who's a British Academy postdoctoral fellow in the Centre for Contemporary British History. And he is going to tell us about his experience of how newspaper digitization will affect the way that scholars use newspapers in their research, a topic that's already been mentioned, I think, but it is a particularly valuable source.
Thanks very much. I'm afraid I haven't got any exciting slideshows or anything like that, so you'll just have to look at the blank screen. I want to say right from the outset that I'm come at this, as Elizabeth says, as a social and cultural historian who works on the press rather than an expert on digital resources as such. The vast majority of my work involves using traditional manuscript sources, hard copy, and we're looking at the press into microfilm copies, simply because the papers that I look at are not available digitally as yet. Nevertheless, I have used what press resources, digital press resources are available, and I have been considering how it would change, how the progress of digitalisation would change my research and research of others in the field. So in the short time that's available to me, I'd like to do three things. Firstly, just give a very brief overview of what is available in terms of digitalised newspapers and press resources. Secondly, discuss some of the opportunities that digitalisation will bring to the field. And then finally, consider some of the potential difficulties with digitalisation. Firstly, in terms of what's available, in terms of the British press, most, as I'm sure everyone's aware, most national and many local newspapers are all now available in electronic form, usually going back to about the early 1990s, through websites such as Newsbank and ProQuest. In terms of a wider historical time frame, the most notable resource, which again I'm sure lots of you will have used, is the Times Digital Archive, which covers the Times from 1785 to 1985, developed by the Gale Group. That's now available through most university libraries. Perhaps less well known, there are things like The Scotsman has been digitised from 1817 to 1950. On the British Library website, there's access to a pilot project which includes selected issues of papers like The Daily News, News of the World, Manchester Guardian, from a small number of years between 1851 and 1918. The British Library has recently announced that it's going to carry out a major digitalisation project for 19th century newspapers, covering a variety of national, regional, local papers. In fact, there's information about that on the JISC pamphlet that's on people's seats. That hopes to digitalise about 2 million pages from journals and newspapers and hopes to go online in September 2006. There's also the National Library of Scotland project, The Word on the Street, which is, covers broadside publications between the mid-17th century and early 20th century. There's also a number of thematic online projects which include material from newspapers, such as the Active Union Virtual Library looks at newspapers and pamphlets relating to the Active Union between Great Britain and Ireland in 1801, so things like Belfast Newsletter and Dublin Evening Post. There's the Moving Here website, which looks at migration to England. There's a variety of press material on that website, and there are a number of other of these sort of thematic websites. Internationally as well, there are a variety of resources. There's Time magazine has got a complete archive now from 1922. The major American dailies, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Wall Street Journal, are all available through ProQuest. And there's a good website called newspaperarchive.com, which has a whole range of smaller papers as well from the US, from Canada, Denmark, Jamaica, South Africa, a very disparate collection of countries. And it's quite, it's just a variety of small and not so small papers, but quite a wide range of coverage there. So there are a wide range of resources out there for use. Now, very clearly this process of digitisation brings huge benefits, and I think it will mean that from being what I would say one of the most underused and undervalued resources in many respects in the humanities, newspapers will become far more central. Newspapers contain a vast wealth of information which can be of relevance to a whole range of scholars throughout the humanities. In my own field, I would think that there are a few historians of the modern period, political, social, or cultural historians, who couldn't find material of use in newspapers. Yet, at present time, they're only being used to a fraction of their potential, because using them is simply so time-consuming and labour-intensive. Most newspapers have to be read in Colindale, and I'm sure that those who have been to Colindale will probably agree that it's not necessarily the most user-friendly library in the world. Even if you have easy access to a library which has an archive of the newspaper that you want to look at, newspapers are still not particularly user-friendly source to use. You're either presented with massively unwieldy and often very fragile bound copies, which are often quite difficult to use, or you have to strain your eyesight on the often very badly filmed microfilms that you're presented with. Then you have the problem of actually finding what you're looking for. Papers like The Times and The New York Times, of course, have indexes. The vast majority of papers don't, so there can be a lot of laborious work leafing through newspapers looking for what you're searching for. And even if you have exact references, if you're looking at a wide range of papers across a period, then the whole process of ordering all of up these different volumes means it's just very, very time consuming. The result of this is that the only people that can really justify that sort of expenditure of time are those for whom newspapers are right at the centre of their research, press historians, media studies scholars, things like that. Others just simply avoid using them or make assumptions about their content by and large. I know several people who would like to make a greater use of newspapers but simply can hardly bring themselves to go through the whole tedious process of going to Colindale and everything that involves. So digitalisation transforms quite clearly the accessibility and user-friendliness of newspaper archives. It allows all those scholars in the humanities who might not have gotten through that whole process that I just outlined of ordering up hard copies of newspapers or going through microfilms to make use of them. And they can be sure that their precious time will actually be spent reading something that's of value to them rather than searching and ordering. In particular, I mean, the Times Digital Archive, I mean, I've already seen people started to use that, and I'm sure that the Times will start cropping up in articles much more frequently and in essays too. I mean, already students that I've been teaching are starting to use that quite frequently, and sort of undergraduate students who wouldn't usually quote any primary source material now have this huge mass of material accessible to them through their desktop or laptop. And especially with student numbers increasing and increasing pressure on libraries, then resources like that, which are accessible through the internet, are increasingly valuable. And for those scholars who already use newspapers, then digitalisation not only brings the benefits of convenience, it allows newspapers, the analysis of newspapers, to proceed in new ways. Using a resource like the Times Digital Archive, one can trace references to subjects or topics in a way that's simply not possible before. Historians, for example, often wish to discover the first time a subject was mentioned in a newspaper, when a term was coined, but previously that was a very laborious task and one that was usually inconclusive. Now it takes seconds to discover. I put in psychoanalysis into the Times Digital Archive, and I found in seconds that the first use of that was August 1913. In America, a historian has found an earlier use of the word jazz in the New York Times than any that had previously been found. So things like that in terms of first usage. You can also compare how frequently certain words were used to produce a sort of basic measure of how frequent they were in public discussion. One use of this could be, for example, there's been a lot of work done on how newspapers help to create moral panics around subjects such as crime, juvenile delinquency, sexual immorality and such like. And you could use frequency counts on certain key words to give an idea and measure the sort of life cycle of moral panics and things like that. In short, the sort of content analysis that was previously so difficult and so laborious and time-consuming becomes far more feasible with digital newspapers. Also, with these search engines, scholars can feel confident that, that they've not missed references and that their searches have been comprehensive. Biographers often want to use newspapers. Now they can put in the surname of a person and be confident that they've found every mention of their subject in newspapers. And recent years in literary studies, for example, new perspectives have been found on figures such as T.S. Eliot and Yeats through the use of newspapers, and that sort of biographical information can also be used very successfully with digital newspapers. I think also that digitalisation will raise the horizons of scholars, allowing international comparisons with the increasing availability of international digital newspaper collections will allow the sort of comparative studies to be made, of which there are far too few, I think, in the humanities. So clearly all of this provides a tremendous opportunity. But we should also consider some of the problems and the difficulties. I mean, one obvious problem is the way in which digitalization can distort research priorities. While only a few papers have been digitized, then it's going to be natural for scholars to concentrate on the ones that they can access from their computer rather than going to Colander. I mean, I think we can expect to see a huge over-reliance on the Times, and that will be becoming the sort of the default voice of the press. And I have some concerns about that. The Times has always been, obviously, like to style itself a paper of record, but it's only one voice among many. And people using it need to be aware of its history and the cultural context if it's going to be used sensitively. More broadly, I would worry slightly that it's going to be the elite papers, the so-called papers of record, that will be digitised before the popular papers. So we have the Times and the Scotsman well ahead of News of the World, the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail, papers like that. These papers are clearly only circulated amongst a minority of the population, and many social and cultural historians would be equally interested in popular newspapers, and I would hope that they would be digitised too. It has to be said that, I mean, the British Library's 19th century newspaper project does look like it will be including a good selection of papers, and I hope that digitisers will bear that in mind. There are also the methodological issues, I think, and this is where keyword searching is very useful tool, but it's also a fairly blunt one that does need to be used with care. It treats the newspaper archive as a repository of discrete articles. Those relevant to the search term are identified and plucked out of their context for the scholar to read. And there's a danger in this process of forgetting the position of these articles in real publications that were bought, read and passed around from day to day. Newspaper articles are always surrounded by other articles, by pictures, by headlines and by advertisements, and this surrounding material and its position in the paper affects how any article should be read. It's essential to know how prominent an article is, where it is located, and that would influence how many people read it, what importance was ascribed to it. I mean, these search terms will pick out something that's on the bottom of page 15 equally as something that's right on the front page. And while it should be said that most of the recent digitalization projects do allow you to look at the whole page in context, and some of them allow you to flick through, I think with with broadsheet papers, I mean, and the, you know, practicality of looking at that on a computer screen, people are not going to, in practice, flick through papers or make much use of these, and they will home in on just the keyword searches. And whereas it's difficult to forget this context of the whole paper when you're using hard copy or even using microfilm, I think that that sort of context, there's a danger of that being lost with the use of the digital archive. Equally, the keyword searches is all very well, but you miss out to an extent on the visual impact, the photos, the headlines, the cartoons. Now, there are separate databases of these. The University of Canterbury has a very good cartoon archive, but again, these are pulled out of their context, and so I do worry slightly about retaining hold of that context. And so keyword searches can certainly help to locate relevant articles, but they should be used in conjunction with, rather than replacing, the careful study of whole newspapers. Okay, so in conclusion, I mean, the problems that I've identified are not so much problems with the resources themselves, but with how scholars might use them in practice, and I think it's important that scholars bear some of these problems in mind and that people consider these issues carefully. Digitalization undoubtedly provides enormous benefits, but there needs to be careful consideration of which newspapers are chosen for scanning, how they're presented on screen, and digitalizers need to work closely with scholars to learn about the research priorities that exist and to ensure that a wide and representative range of newspapers are captured faithfully. Thank you.